Welcome to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. Steve Vaughn in studio with me. Just a couple of homeschooling dads, and we bring a biblical worldview to bear on the issues of the day. And we live in an age in which the Western world is turning against Christianity, and apostate nations oftentimes more dangerous than pagan nations that have never, ever heard the gospel. Those turning away from the gospel, things much worse for them than those who have never heard it before. And that's the lesson we take from 2 Peter chapter 2. So we live in difficult times, extremely interesting times, challenging times. So here we are chronicling the decline of Western civilization from our basement studio out here in the Western Plains of Colorado. And today we're going to talk about the Western Plains of Canada, or all of Canada, because Canada is suffering some major setbacks when it comes to religious liberty. And it's Bill Whatcott, who's been a subject of a Canada-wide warrant for the last week or two. Apparently, they've got a warrant out for Bill Whatcott because of hate crimes.
So is he a serial murderer or something? Well, I mean, that's Canada-wide warrant.
It's Canada-wide warrant for Bill Whatcott. And I checked out his Wikipedia website. He has a Wikipedia on him. And Whatcott, apparently he... The signs he carries around with him to various public events around the nation of Canada read, "Repent and believe the gospel. Homosexuality is a sin." And for this, it appears that old Bill is subject to the Canada-wide warrant.
That
hate crimes.
Wow.
He hates sin.
I guess you can't do that anymore in Canada.
I guess not. And Bill Whatcott himself has confessed to having a past of homosexual sin, and he's turned against it. Evidently, he doesn't like his sin anymore. And that is a major beef for the Canadian court system. He was finally arrested in Calgary. I think it was yesterday. If I'm not mistaken, he was arrested in Calgary, and they will extradite him to Toronto for apparently his stand for the gospel, repenting and believing the gospel. And those fighting words. You start using words like repent.
Yeah.
Those are fighting words, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. You might be arrested in some American evangelical churches for that kind of language.
Yeah. Yeah, you might.
Repent?
Yeah.
The use of the word repent? You got to be kidding me. Repent? In American churches? Back in 2016, Bill Whatcott was handing out flyers at the Toronto Pride Parade. Didn't they hold a Pride Parade in Sodom?
I think so.
I think they did, yeah. It ended, though. He was warning of the physical and spiritual dangers of sodomy. And then a month later, activists filed a $103 million class action lawsuit against him. That's a lot.
That's a lot of money.
I don't think he has that much money.
Probably not.
My understanding is he was a nurse. Nurses don't make that much.
No, just a little bit less.
Yeah, you're a nurse.
I am a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they don't make $103 million, right?
I've never made $101 maybe. But
$101?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Whatcott said, okay, this is a quote from Whatcott regarding his most recent hate crimes. "The crime, my ministry bringing the gospel and the truth about homosexuality to Toronto's homosexual pride parade in 2016. So that was his crime. And his signs read, "Repent and believe the gospel. Homosexuality is a sin." Well, my friends, Whatcott has been to the Supreme Courts of Canada a number of times. Most recently, I think it was the court in Saskatchewan ruled that one may not detest and vilify certain sins in an emotional way. Wow, I guess that pretty much preempts any kind of revival.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Wow.
Revivals are typically where people are crying out for God's mercy on them for their sinful condition, you know. So that's not going to happen in Saskatchewan anymore, I guess.
Yeah.
For any kind of, or I guess it's certain sins. Maybe it's not all sins. But anyway, the court ruled in Saskatchewan that people in Saskatchewan, Christians, may not detest or vilify certain sins in an emotional way. Now, the persecution is coming against men like Bill Whatcott, and anybody who preaches against homosexuality in a public way is at least as bad as the prosecution of pilgrims in England in the 1590s. And why is that? And here's why. Because these are sodomites persecuting Christians, taking a stand against the most heinous sins of the day. And back in the 1590s,
The pilgrims were persecuted for writing books on church discipline and refusing to wear robes in the worship service. Wow. Hello, my friends. Canada is persecuting Christians big time, and Canada is gearing up to be the next North Korea. I think it's the same humanistic legacy.
Yeah.
Canada is persecuting Christians like North Korea, and maybe not to the extent of North Korea at this point, but Canada is persecuting Christians, plain and simple. Remember, as Kim Il-sung, North Korea's dictator, raised in a Presbyterian church, and he created the greatest hellhole on earth, and has persecuted Christians in a very, very horrendous way, ranking that nation as the worst persecuting nation on earth today, at least according to opendoors.com. Kim Il-sung is the beginning of it all, raised in the Presbyterian church. From his autobiography, I read it online. You can read it online. I read Kim Il-sung's autobiography online, found out that he saw the preacher's sermons way over my head. The church services were boring. And he asked his father about it. He was told, you must have more faith in our people and our nation than in Jesus Christ. Serving our nation is more important than serving God. And that was the beginning of the apostasy of Kim Il-sung. It was apostates that turned North Korea into the hellhole it is today. And the same thing is happening in Canada, my friends. It's time for our Canadian Christian friends to leave the state. We're calling on our Canadian Christian friends to leave the state, to seek asylum now while there is time. Dust off your feet, leave the country. Follow the admonition of Jesus in Matthew chapter 10, verse 11, when he says, now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who it is worthy. Stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. The household is worthy. Let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. My point is, it's our goal and it's our responsibility to disciple the nations. If the discipleship is silenced and nobody's receiving the word of God, get out. Go somewhere. Disciple nations elsewhere. And by the way, all possibility of legal change is impossible in Canada for at least another generation. Why? Because now, as of 2 weeks ago, Canada's Supreme Court rejected the country's only Christian law school over the issue of sodomy. Man, it sure looks like it will be more tolerable in the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for the land of Canada. It's time to get out of Canada. Seek asylum now, my friends. If you're a Christian in Canada, it's time to get out. Get out while the getting's good. Canada is walking away from the gospel. Canada is saying if you preach against certain sins, you will be fined. You will find yourself in prison. Canada is not receiving the gospel, and Canada is an apostate nation that has rejected Jesus Christ and his message of the gospel. They refuse to repent of their sins. And given that they have rejected the Christian faith in Canada, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for the land of Canada. We'll be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith. And it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we're are back on the Generations Radio broadcast as we discuss the persecution in Canada, the rising persecution of the Christian faith in Canada. And yes, the bureaucrats of the day will identify some particular means by which Christians might be persecuted. And it happens to be the politically correct sin of the day, the abominable sin of homosexuality, the basis upon which Christians are persecuted in the land of Canada, and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in which we are to call people to repent of their sins and to turn to Jesus in order that he might save them from their sins, sins like homosexuality. That gospel has been banned in the state of Canada. So our encouragement is to flee the land of Canada, especially if you have no opportunity for the discipleship of a nation. Now, there may be some exemptions. There may be some exceptions to those who are willing to submit themselves to prison time and disciple in the prison systems throughout Canada. And there may be some exceptions to this rule. I understand that. But generally speaking, I think God is calling Christians away from those environments in which they have rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Christians ought to find new environs in which they have the possibility of discipling a nation. And at least for this generation, Steve, it appears that there is no legal possibility of reversing the legal environment in the nation of Canada today, given that Canada's Supreme Court has rejected the country's only Christian law school. And it was over the issue of sodomy again.
Yeah, and this has been coming for a while because they have a law there that you even pastors aren't supposed to preach against homosexuality from the pulpit. That's been going on for several years now.
Yeah.
And pastors have been arrested. And so, yeah, it's going downhill fast.
Yeah, it seems like it's time to get out. Now, maybe, again, there may be some exceptions to this. I'm not saying that every single person needs to, but it's time at least to consider getting out and finding asylum for the poor Canadian Christians who are under severe persecution north of our borders. Trinity Western University has lost a years-long legal fight to launch what would be the only Christian law school in Canada. The Supreme Court of Canada considered a pair of appeals cases involving regional law societies that refused to accredit the Trinity Western program due to the Evangelical Institution's Student Covenant, which prohibits sex outside of traditional marriage. And that evidently included homosexuality. And some legal experts said Friday's decision has essentially gutted religious freedom protections in the nation of Canada. Again, some legal experts are saying that Friday's decision on the part of the Supreme Court of Canada has essentially gutted religious freedom protections for that nation. Friends, it's time to get out. Take the salt and leave. We need as much salt as we can get down here south of the border as well. So keep that in mind. We could use some Christians down here to help us. It's time to get out of Canada, take the salt, and leave. This is a very disappointing outcome. And that's what the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities tweeted. Societies are stronger when all people and their beliefs and institutions they form are respected. Christian higher ed changes lives for the better. This is a loss for all people of goodwill. So it's a very sad, sad day for the nation of Canada losing their salt and again, descending into the depths of humanism and all the debauchery that humanism embraces, as long as humanism rejects God and rejects the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge in the university classrooms and the K-12 classrooms across Canada. Same thing is happening here, of course, unless there is something of a reformation of education. And the fear of God is brought back into home schools or even Christian schools in the nation of the United States. So we're struggling ourselves, but as the future plays out in Canada, Steve, it appears that schools will probably be forced to teach sodomy. The neuronic agenda is completely normalized there. Mm-hmm. That is what Nero's vision was sodomic marriage and sodomy. This is what Nero was best at. And, of course, persecuting Christians. And burning down Rome, those are the three things that the neuronic agenda accomplishes in the Western world nations, too. It appears that the neuronic agenda is normalized in Canada, and of course, schools will be forced to teach sodomy. It is possible that Canadian homeschools could be islands of freedom, and I'll grant that. It was a close call in Alberta a number of years ago. This would have been 2-3 years ago. Where the Alberta national or state government or provincial government was looking at mandating the teaching of homosexuality in homeschools across Alberta. But Alberta being probably the most conservative of the provinces in Canada, there was something like 1,000 or 2,000 homeschoolers that showed up at the provincial government and pretty much shut down that at least for the next 6 months or 1 year or 2 years. But homeschool is still something of tiny islands of freedom in Canada for the Christians left there. So there's a few families that may be able to disciple their children, but it's hard to imagine the church will survive unless it goes underground. And every church that attempts to lead a teenage kid to repentance from homosexual-type fornication will be prosecuted for that. You know they will be prosecuted
for it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're being prosecuted for it in California today, and you know it's going to happen in Canada as well. It seems to me this is the time to get out of Canada right now.
Yeah, it seems to be that for sure. I wonder if this guy could countersue, because it seems like they hate him too. Yeah, but he doesn't hate. That's the thing. When you're telling people the truth about what they're doing and that it's wrong, that's not hate. That's actually the ultimate of love. But God's love is seen by those who haven't repented as something that is wrong and something to be feared.
It's kind of like telling a doctor, you really hate me, don't you, because you have diagnosed me with cancer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, he's not hating you. He's just telling you what he thinks you have, and he would like to treat it.
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing for the Christian gospel. We tell people, you know, we have a problem. We have a cancerous, leprous, horribly corrupting thing that afflicts every single one of us, and none of us get to exempt ourselves because we are homosexual, because we like to fornicate, or because we like to lie, or because we have a favorite sin that we would love to have the approval of the Supreme Court of the United States for. We can't exempt ourselves from it. We have the same cancerous, leprous condition that everybody else does, and we just want to introduce people to a doctor that can help them with that.
Yeah, and the treatment is painful. To cancer, it's painful, and to repent.
Repentance is a bit of a painful thing because...
Yeah, because you have to admit you're wrong.
Well, there's a humility involved with it,
yeah.
Yes. And I don't think that the proud marches really want to humble themselves. So when you introduce humility and repentance, and you suggest humility and repentance as a solution to those who are proud of their sin and involved in the proud marches of the day... They probably aren't going to receive it. But if they don't repent and humble themselves now, imagine what that future will look like when they come to that judgment day and they hear the words of Jesus, depart from me, you cursed, you workers of iniquity, into everlasting fire with the devil and his angels forever and ever. When they hear those words, they're going to wish that they had paid attention to little old Bill at the Proud March out in Toronto.
Yeah, because it does say in Philippians that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, whether they want to or not. And the best way to do that is under the salvation of Jesus Christ.
Is this the time for Canadians to get out of Canada, especially those Christians who are working their way towards persecution? Do you really want to raise your children in a state in which they will most likely be persecuted for their faith? Perhaps there are some who will be called to the cities and called to prison ministries. I understand that. There will be some exceptions to this rule, but my guess is there will be some called to dust off their feet and to seek asylum, perhaps in the United States of America. America is still in the balance. We've seen two Supreme Court decisions in the last 2 to 3 weeks in which they have kicked the can down the road and have not ruled directly on the issue of Christians baking cakes and providing flower arrangements for homosexual ceremonies. So the two Supreme Court decisions have moved more or less in the direction of Christian freedoms, at least for the time being.
Yeah.
At least during the Trump administration, we may have something of a reprieve for the time being. It seems that God has given us something of a window of opportunity and more islands of freedom here in this country. And of course, we want to hear other voices. But I think as long as there are some strong cultural voices in the media, some strong cultural voices in the churches, some strong cultural voices in the political magistrates fighting tooth and nail for a Christian world and life view, I think we've got something of a shot at it this side of the Canadian border. Berno Stutzman and Jack Phillips, both their cases have ruled in favor of the Christian who wanted to not participate in the homosexual ceremonies.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it's not the best victory. It is at least a step towards that. It's, you know, They basically said Colorado civil rights didn't treat them well enough when they told them that they couldn't do that.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a rude discussion.
Yeah.
And so the Supreme Court justices took issue with the rudeness by which the Colorado Civil Rights Commission approached Jack Phillips. And so on the basis of that rather slim thread, we still have something, some small measure of freedom this side of the Canadian border. We still have a measure of free speech here, and we're thankful for that. But, of course, it is the media. It is the e-organizations that seem to be persecuting Christians. It's the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center. It's Amazon's Facebook. It's Google that are doing their best to persecute Christians. And we understand that. Pro-life organizations, pro-family organizations are complaining that they are being shut down by Facebook and Google and others. Google, of course, doing its best to persecute Christians. Christian organizations like ours as well. This to be expected because they are, at root, God-haters and are doing their best to support the homosexual agenda. For some reason, the e-organizations tend to be the strongest in supporting the most evil causes of the day. I'm not exactly sure why, but it could be because they also promote pornography online. So I don't know exactly all the reasons, but it may also be because their leaders do not fear God and have not humbled themselves and repented of their sins before God either. So it is Christian organizations that are being persecuted right now, and it is the e-companies that seem to be doing most of that. So for Christians here, I would encourage you not to support Amazon, Facebook, and Google in their persecution of Christians. I'm not saying to boycott them at this point, but be very careful that you don't support them as they persecute Christians. And you know they're going to be persecuting the Bill Watcuts of the world.
Yeah.
You know they're going to find the worst case description of some of the best Christians across this country. They're going to slime them. They're going to ruin their reputation as best as they possibly can. Friends, do not support Amazon, Facebook, and Google as they persecute Christians. Do not do so. Whatever you do, do not join with Judas and Alexander the Coppersmith and others to persecute Christ and his followers. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Do not encourage the persecution of Christians by Amazon, Facebook, and Google, especially if you are on the side of Jesus. You're either on the side of Jesus, you're on the side of the devil. And Jesus warns us that the sheep and the goats will both come to that judgment day. At the end, it will be the goats that did not visit those poor Christians who are persecuted in prison. So again, sniff out true Christians and be a part of the true Christian church and do not find yourself persecuting Christians. That would be, I guess, my major consideration when it comes to the persecution of Christians in this country. And support Jack Phillips.
Yeah, we just had our end of the year party for our logo speech and debate and ordered 2 half sheet cakes from them. Beautifully done. And
my understanding is his business has gone up threefold since he's gone into this trouble.
Yeah, and I forgot to order my cake until the day before, and he emailed me at 11 o'clock that night and said, "Now, what was it that you wanted on your cake?" I said, "Just do what you think."
Okay, gotcha. Well, there is significant pushback against the SPLC right now. Some 60 organizations are considering a lawsuit against the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has been the root of most of the persecution against Christians in our country thus far. It has not been the Supreme Court of the United States. It has been the Southern Poverty Law Center that has brought most of the persecution against good Christian organizations and Christian churches in our country thus far. So as Christians, we need to be aware of the persecuting forces, and let's pray that God would salvage our country and give us something of a respite from persecution. But hey, take full advantage of it and continue to disciple the nations. Those who are just sitting back on their laurels and saying, "Well, I'm just happy that we aren't being persecuted. I'm happy there isn't anybody protesting outside of our church or shutting our church down. I think I'll just exercise my gifts as a pew warmer, passing calories into the pews in my church for the next 10 years. Please don't do that. Please consider yourself to be a valuable part of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and disciple the nations, beginning by discipling your own family. And be sure that you have family worship every day. Be sure you're opening the Word of God and sharing the Word of God with your children that you might disciple the next generation, that they might disciple the next generation as well. So as we close this edition of the Generations broadcast, may I encourage you to disciple your children in the Word of God, in the book of Matthew, in the book of Proverbs, in the book of Psalms. We have Bible study guides in these critical books. As I was discussing the importance of teaching the Word of God to our children with our disciples, our mentors that we keep down here in the basement of our discipleship center. We talked about the importance of teaching the Book of Psalms and be sure that our children understand all 150 Psalms as well as 31 chapters of Proverbs, and that being so much more important than Aristotle's rhetoric or Aristotle's ethics or your chemistry textbook or whatever you're teaching your children. If your children graduate from high school and you have not taught them all 150 Psalms and you have neglected to teach them all 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs from the beginning to the end, you have given your children a wrong form of education. You have ignored God's curriculum that God has laid out for your children's education. So be sure that you give them the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms, so much more important than chemistry, so much more important than Aristotle's rhetoric. Be sure that they know the Word of God better than these other subjects. Have you really studied the book of Psalms, every single one of them? Do your children understand which ones are the didactic Psalms, which ones are the deliverance Psalms, which ones are the praise Psalms, and which Psalms are used for which occasions? Do your children understand the book of Psalms? Have they memorized large portions of the book of Psalms? Have they memorized large portions of the book of Proverbs? Have you prioritized God's word over all the other subjects? Of course, teach your children the word of God as you sit in your house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, and as you lie down. And that's why we provide these Bible study guides that go through all 150 Psalms, and they go through all 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs. I would encourage you to disciple your children in the Word of God. First and foremost, it should be your first priority. And I would encourage you to check out our Bible study guides in the book of Proverbs, the book of Psalms, the book of Matthew, and the book of Genesis, all available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.